Well, when we began this, the Lord began to teach us how to be a conduit for the kingdom of God, how to receive from the kingdom. How come we don't get answered prayer? It's amazing how long we'll go and never ask that question. We'll stay frustrated, but we never stay close enough to God to find out, why does not this work? And one of the things we do, if you get into that very long, what'll happen? You'll start indicting. You start looking at God. How come? Lord, you're the problem. I'm not the problem. Or we don't know what the problem is. I can tell you this, God is not the problem. God is on all the time. His kingdom is on all the time. God does not wake up in the morning and say, okay, I think my kingdom will shut down for today. God's kingdom, there are no wildernesses. Only in our kingdom are there wildernesses. Wildernesses is the times that we're not properly plugged into his kingdom. When you're plugged into him, there's always life, restoration, glory, joy, wisdom, grace, increase, divine multiplication, and fruitfulness. When we're not plugged in, we're plugged into another kingdom called flesh. And when we're plugged into that kingdom, you get just the opposite of everything I just said. Amen? So we have to learn to plug in to the kingdom. We have to be careful when in the wilderness that we don't adopt philosophies and doctrinal belief systems that bind us down to the wilderness. Amen? We got to be very careful to that. So one of the first things the Lord taught us was that when you pray, say when, believe that you receive. He didn't say believe the manifestation is going to show up right there. He said believe that you receive and you shall have. You see the two things? Receive and shall have are two different things. Now that's a thing that a lot of people don't understand. Believe you receive is not believe you shall have. He didn't say believe you shall have. If he'd have said that, then you needed to be looking for the shall have when you pray. That's the part people miss. Well, I believe I shall have when I pray. He didn't say that. He said, believe you receive and then you shall have. You got to understand those are two different things going on. You receive the transference of the jurisdiction of what you pray in the domain of the kingdom of God within you. John 17, the kingdom of God is within you. That's a big place. The only thing that makes that small is you. Your belief system will cause the expansion of that kingdom or the contraction. Contract, expand. Your belief system can contract the kingdom within you. Everyone say, the kingdom of God is within me. There is a very, 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 very powerful operation in there when you get in tune to it. Amen? We have to learn how that works. So when we ask God, we believe we receive. See, God's given you a domain when he said, let man have dominion. As a king and a priest, you have a domain. Paul called it the measure of rule. You have a measure of rule in your ministry, and you have a measure of rule as a son and daughter of the Most High God. You have certain rights. That's why you have the right to rebuke the devil when he comes on your children. Because they're part of your measure of rule. And because you have that right in that measure of rule, you also have a right to believe God. So when you the reason why God requires you believe that you receive, because he's going to transfer the jurisdiction of what you ask for into your domain. Now, that's huge. Now, I can't spend much time on this because I've taught like 10 messages on this already. But I will be teaching 10 more, praise God, until you get it. How do I know? Because the light comes on. You don't know like this. You go, you're going, I want everybody walking around the church like this. I don't want to see no blinking anymore. I want your eyes so wide they don't even know how to blink anymore. You're walking, oh, oh. See, the light's on. When the light comes on, you go like this. You go, your mouth opens, and your eyes go up like that. Y'all want to practice that? No, just kidding. You've got to listen. The way to get the light on is listen over and over and over and over. I used to listen to tapes 41 times, 42 times. Around the 30th time, I said, oh my God, that's what he said. Listen to what he said. And the Lord said, he said that 30 times ago. But I didn't hear it. Your gate issues will cause you not to hear something. I can preach something and 10 of you will get 10 different things from it. Because your gate issues will either excuse or accuse. It'll accept or reject what's being said. When God gets the gate issues right, things happen. Amen? Be amazed how many gate issues we have. So we receive that into the kingdom of God, into our domain. Then we talked about how to keep it, guard it, build a shield around it, hold it. Learn to keep the devil away from it because he's coming to steal it. Because once it gets in your domain, you're fair game. The enemy's coming. He'll come immediately to try to steal it. Why? Because he wants it in his trophy room. Because God reassigned the jurisdiction of it now. And the devil now says, I get access to that. If they let me have it, I'll take it. If you don't know how to guard it, he'll snatch it away from you. And you'll be wondering why it's happened for everybody else. It got snatched from you. You got snatched. So we learn to do that. And then we also learn, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit tonight. You got to learn that you're a two-part being. You're a dual citizen, is a better word. You have citizenship in the earth, and you have a body and a soul that interacts with this earth system. You've learned to interact with the laws of physics that govern this earth system. But you're also a citizen of heaven. You're a citizen and you have a spiritual man that has the capacity to interact with spiritual things and interact with the laws that govern the realm of the spirit. If you don't know how to connect with that part of you, you're going to have difficulty operating by faith in the long run. That part of you can do a lot of things, but that part of you operates by faith. That part of you operates by what it sees, what it understands about who you are. And so we teach that once those deposits are made in your spirit, that you can loose that into the earth. Isn't that amazing? You're in the earth, but you're loosing into the earth. That's how much you need to know what a dual citizen you are. I'm going to show this to you tonight. You got to loose that, because when God signs, he says, now loose it with your faith. I loose that into manifestation. I loose it into the shall have. I want the realm of the shall have now. I loose it into the shall. And whatever you loose on the earth is loosed in heaven. You got to learn that operation. That's big right there. Everyone say big. B-I-G, big. Large. Important. Huge. Now, I want to take this up again tonight, and I want to get real specific tonight. Once manifestation starts coming, it can come like it did with Cheryl's, praise God. It can come specifically. Some of mine have been coming specifically lately. I like that. Sometimes it can go over and above. She made a pledge for 3,000, got 3,500. And that's awesome. You'd be like Chuck, you know, he makes a pledge for 2,400. See, he didn't have enough faith. He gets a $28,000 blessing. What he should have done is pledge 28,000. Yes, yeah, so God said, here's where I wanted your faith, here. No, I'm just kidding. He's got it. They got it, praise God. And then like he'll do with Anna and I, we're both asking God, and I don't know she's asking, and the first harvest comes in, I said, that's mine! And I didn't know that she was asking. She come and tell me later, you know, I asked for that too. Why didn't you say anything? I'm already down the road with it, you know. God said, hey, I'm big enough. The next day, just 24 hours, he brings her blessing for benefit of the MP3. I ask on Monday because I've been giving everything that's coming in my hands lately because just, you know, you just get in that realm where you just love to give. And you're just in a machine, you know. And I said, God, I just want to be a conduit. Get it in my hands. And there it goes, you know. And then I realized it was Christmas time. And I said, God, everything you brought through me, I've given away. And I've enjoyed doing it. So I asked him on Monday night for $1,000. And on Tuesday morning, somebody walks up to me. This was just this last Tuesday. What's today's date? 17th. So this is the 15th. I ask on the 14th. On the 15th, God gives me a stack of 10 $100 bills. I don't even have to go cash a check. I just get to go spend the money. That's pretty fun. But then I find out Anna was asking for that as well. But she asked for $1,000 to $1,500 for some dental work. But I just latched on that harvest because I didn't know she was asking for that. Of course, she got half the first harvest anyway, you know. Praise God forever. However, God heard her request too. So what'd he do? On Wednesday the 16th, has a very dear couple come over to our house, spent all day with us, like from 3 o'clock on to 10 o'clock. Just incredible. And they said, God just told us to give this and put, and they gave it to our name, $1,500. So God answered her request, mine, and he's answering just like that. I mean, exactly what you're asking for. That's pretty good. When that happens, Jerry, did that feel good when God answered your request the day after? He said they laughed and laughed and laughed. I haven't asked one person yet. Hey, that felt good. And they said, no, that didn't feel good at all. Don't ever want that to happen again. The only people who think like that have not plugged in yet, and they got a gate issue, and they're fighting it. That's the only ones that don't like it. They're out there, nah. It's your Father's good pleasure. Do you know every single person that's breaking through, their heart's so full of the kingdom? Their so heart so full of kingdom. Nobody's going to run off into carnality with this stuff. Their so heart so full of the kingdom. Amen. Now, what I want to zero in on is tonight is the aspect of when God does not give it all to you up front or more than what you ask for. When God decides to send it to you in a partial harvest or what I call a seed form. Now, don't get this mixed up in your mind as seed faith, because it's a difference. Here's how seed faith works. A preacher will get in front of you and say, if you give $1,000, God will do this for you. And so you give the $1,000 and that didn't happen. You do that long enough, you'll get burned. That's not what I'm talking about. But we've never said that once here. But what I'm talking about is faith goes first. We ask God. We believe we receive the answer. It comes into our domain. We're loosing it into the earth, and all of a sudden things start showing up. See the difference? Nobody asks you for anything up front. Did I ever ask anybody to give anything up front? To get God to do anything? What do we say? We believe God first. Faith goes first, see. But what we are going to do is operate in kingdom dynamics. When something comes in, and when we, this is what turned it loose. This week, it's exploded in another way. I mean, each week it builds. It's like the river started and then it lifted, and then this week it lifted in another level. I'm like, where's it going to be a month from now? Where's it going to be 6 months from now? Where's it going to be next year? You might even know us next year. We probably won't be in this building next year. I don't think it's going to hold what's coming. Amen? Because I intend also to turn these principles in to believe God for harvest. I'm not talking about financial harvest. I'm talking about kingdom harvest. Because he already said he'd do it. So I just connect to what he said. It's all about connecting into the kingdom of increase and divine multiplication. Okay, now what does God do when he sends the harvest? And this is the part that turned it up for us. And I want to make sure you get it tonight. Amen? Say, I'm going to get it. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to get it. This part right here will happen probably more times than the other part. I can't tell you how God's going to do it for you. God's done it both ways. He's done it three different ways. He's given me more than I've asked for. He's given me exactly what I've asked for the last two times. But with this mountain we're moving in the church right now, this debt we're moving that you all are a part of, he didn't do it that way. I'd love for God to walk up and someone hand me a $50,000 check. That would just flow to my boat. But in the last month, he's already sent half of that. But nobody's walked up with a $25,000 check. It started very small. But because God's given us the wisdom on how to interact with the small things, they've become very large. And more importantly, what I didn't know God was doing, he let me in on something. He goes, if I'd given you $50,000, that would have been $50,000. He goes, but instead, I'm letting you build a river. And that river, it's not only going to pay for what it's going to move that mountain, but it's going to keep going after that. Because you don't stop. Rivers don't stop. They just keep building. So this part of it can be more explosive than getting it all up front. Amen. So I want you to make sure you get this. Lock the doors. If anybody tries to leave, Mark, tackle them. Tackle them, brother. Blame it on me. Just kidding. You got to get rid of that poor me. Why is this stuff not happening for me? That's why it's not happening for you right there, because you asked that question. You know why? Because that question's motivated by a whole foundation of self-pity. And self-pity will block the blessing. You got to have to get rid of that. Get rid of that thing that it's always, I'm a liability and everyone has to do something for me. You got to get rid of the liability thinking. You have to turn and become an asset in the kingdom. Everyone say, I am an asset in the kingdom. I am the one that God's blessing through. You got to get rid of you. That's always about you being blessed. Man, that'll promote a very unhealthy lifestyle of having to go around having someone has to bless me all the time. You got to be, I am a blessing. God, I think that I'm a funnel and it's in me and what's coming in my hands is going out. I am a blessing. Told Abraham, thou shalt be a blessing. Got to make that shift. Boy, you got to make that shift. All right, y'all ready? Man, I've been reviewing for a long time. But everyone say, we got plenty of time. Because it's coming in the holidays. And in the holidays, I can preach all night. Oh, by the way, Tuesday night, we're having our Thursday night service. Did y'all get that? Next Tuesday night, we're having our Thursday night service. We're having our Thursday night service on Tuesday night. Amen? Got it. We're going to have, we'll tell you about that. Okay, John chapter 6, verse 5. I want you to get there. I'm going to break it down tonight. I want you to see it. Don't tune out, because I'm going to add a few things in tonight that you may not have heard. Amen? When Jesus, now this is what we're going to do when the partial harvest shows up. Or I like to call it seed form. When it comes in as a seed, when what I believe God for, the fullness didn't show up, part of it showed up. When Jesus then lifted his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him and said unto him, Philip, from where shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Now, Philip's talking just like we do, or we used to, I'll put it that way. See, we got to get out of thinking like mere men. That was not the lesson of this. God wants us, Philip, he knew what Philip was going to say. Because Philip didn't train to do things the way man does them. All right? And Jesus is trying to get him out of this. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said, watch this, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, if he'd have stopped right there, he would have been the man. But he just had to add the extra stuff. But, you got to watch the buts. What are they among so many? When the Lord taught us to stop doing that is when the river shifted. If you don't start doing that in your business, when God starts sending you things and he'll send you something, if you don't recognize his answer in what he's sending you, and you don't know how to interact with it properly and how to transfer the jurisdiction of it, guess what? You lose what God sent you. God expects us to recognize what he sends. Amen. What are they among so many? You've got to get out of that kind of thinking. Because Jesus, something sparked up in him. He said, that's all I need. Now, I've said this many times, and I'll say it again. The Lord asked me a question. He said, now, how many people do you think five loaves, hungry men, would have five loaves and two fish would have fed? I said, 10. He said, I was feeding 5,000. Not including women and children. So my mathematics don't even include the women and children. 5,000 divided by 10 is 500. This is where he shifted me. He said, I was working with 500 times less than what I need. And when he said, he goes, I send you a whole lot more than that most of the time. Man, that just did it for me. Amen. So I want to take you through. You're not going to get in this one gospel here the whole picture. You have to go to, I believe it's Matthew's account as well, to get everything that transpired. You've got to know everything he did. It's crucial to understand how those bread and that fish was multiplied. Okay? So we're going to take it from the position that Jesus, he said he took the loaves. And the fish. And actually that word took means received. He received them. This is the first part of what's going to happen. You must learn to receive what God sends you. And you got to receive it in the right spirit. Okay? So in verse 11 it says, Jesus received the loaves. When Jesus received the loaves, there was a transfer of jurisdiction from the lad to Jesus. This is where you have to be very careful not to have the syndrome of Andrew. What are they among so many? If you receive what God gives you, the first thing that happens, notice what happens, the jurisdiction transfers. There's going to be several transferences of jurisdiction. There's three or four of them that are going to happen here. You need to understand that. There's not just one transfer of jurisdiction. It comes out of the lad's jurisdiction and it comes into Jesus' hands. This happens a lot. We do every, now I want you to write this down. We do this, both Ann and I do it personally with anything that passes through our hands or anything that passes through our domain, anything that passes like our paycheck, we do this with. We do this when it comes time to give from our paycheck. We do this in the church with everything that comes through this church. Nothing comes through this church that doesn't pass through this system, if you call it a system. But like when you give to the church, it leaves your jurisdiction and it comes into HRC's jurisdiction. Okay? When someone pays you, how many of you ever had accounts receivable and they paid you a part of it? That don't feel good, does it? Well, you owe me all of this. You're 60 days late. And then if that wasn't enough, you go and tell your best friend, I can't believe that creditor. They know. Don't they know what I'm under? I owe people. They're not paying me. And you just you eat them up. That's not receiving. You're going to have to learn to stay in the Spirit of God with things. That's no different than, well, we don't act like that, trust me. But what happens when you're running a church and you have a $20,000 budget and you need $5,000 a week and you get $1,200? How's that feel? These people just don't give. You start doing that, you'll start cursing the very things. I have never, I'm telling you, in 12 years of ministry, God is never, the offerings are never gauged on how many people are sitting in this congregation. We can have a very lean night with people and the offerings explode. We can have it pack wall to wall and nothing comes in. You have to watch. When it comes in, it's very important. When you receive what comes into your domain, whether it's your paycheck, whether it's a bonus, whether it's an account receivable, whether it's offerings, you have to be very careful what kind of heart you have. Because sometimes it's not coming with what you're expecting. You were expecting much and little came in. But if you'll learn to react to the little properly, it will become much. And so what happens when you receive it, the first thing happened is that jurisdiction transferred. Get out, watch that syndrome. What are this among so many? If you have that attitude and you treat it as insignificant, guess what? You'll kill the life in it. It's coming with life in it. You just don't know it. Because that's what I like to look at it as a seed, because seeds don't look like a full tree, but the tree's in it, if you can recognize it. And if I can interact with that thing properly, it will become a tree and more. Okay? It's the power that God's put in this. And he comes in with his life. He wants to see if you can recognize his blessing like that. You've got to receive that. I told you I'm going to be line upon line tonight. You receive that. Father, I thank you. It's more than enough. Because you're more than enough. And I know what to do with it. This is an answer to my prayer. And though it's 100 times less than what I need, it is an answer to my prayer. Because I remember he did that on Tuesday night. He gave me $500. And on Wednesday, I kept it all day long. And I was believing I was going to put it in towards the $50,000. Because I'm believing God to move the $50,000. All that $500 was going towards it. It's 1%. And Wednesday night, I'm praying. The Lord speaks to me. This is my next point. He said, what if that had been $50,000? He goes, what would you have done if that check would have been $50,000? I said, the staff would have been here on Wednesday morning at 8:30 sharp. We would have had that into the computer, processed, and on its way to the bank. And then once we got in the bank, we would start writing out all the checks. And we rejoiced. He goes, so you didn't take it down to the church today? You want to hold it over? He goes, and he was just pointing out something to me. He goes, because you're treating it as insignificant. The seed wasn't insignificant. I mean, that's a very bountiful offering. It's just compared to what I was sowing it towards. It's 1%, I mean. Boy, when he did that, I tell you, I jumped in my car and I ran down here to the church and started walking down the altar. Now, here's the next part, this very important part. When Jesus received it, he gave thanks. You're not going to give thanks for something if you're not thankful. If it's insignificant, you won't give thanks. You'll murmur over it. You better watch that. If you see it as insignificant, you're going, oh, God, I can't believe this. But if you see that the answer of God's in there, you say, thank you, Father. You've answered my prayer. See, that heart of thanks is you've got to see what's in there. You got to know who you are, what you're going to do with that, and you give thanks. You're not going to hear this stuff in Bible school, I can promise you. When you give thanks for it, Father, I receive it into my jurisdiction, and I give thanks. That was the next one. We must learn to give thanks, even when the answer doesn't look like the answer. That's the big, it's easy to give thanks when you pray for 1500 and 1500 comes in. It's real easy to give thanks when you pray for 3500 and 28,000 comes in. Man, it's easy when you pray for 10,000 3 days later, a $10,000 shows up. You're going, glory! If you've seen my faith, for the benefit of the MP3, my chest is breaking the buttons. But what happens when it shows up 100 times less than what you prayed for? Oh, God, didn't you hear me? See the difference? He needs the response. He needs the faith. He needs you to give thanks for the insignificant. He needs you to stop seeing it as insignificant. All right? That was the point too. Number two is give thanks. He said he received the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed. Now, that's the thing about the Gospels, is not every writer catches it all. Because there were two or three more steps in there that are very important that John left out. But thank God for Matthew, he caught them. These are huge. Everyone say, huge. The men didn't even bother with that one. That was all ladies. Okay, go to Matthew 14. We're going to catch the next three steps. These are important. These make it happen. Now what happened? There has been a jurisdictional shift from the lad to Jesus. It's in Jesus's. Now Jesus is going to shift jurisdictions too. He's about to take the bread and loaves to another jurisdiction. If you don't learn to do this one, you're going to miss. I remember when the Lord spoke to me up here. It was probably like 2 months ago. He goes, you still don't know what giving's about, do you? I said, what? You know, you get defensive with God. He wasn't indicting the fact that I like to give. I didn't understand what he was trying to say about giving. We're learning. You'll learn tonight too. Don't check out. Don't you check out. Your whole life can change by hearing what I'm saying. Amen. Everyone say, my light is on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got a 2,000 watt light bulb going on up there. Amen. All right. I want to lock on. Lock. I want this. All right. Matthew 14. We're going to get Matthew's account because he's going to add a few steps. So we have the reception and the giving of thanks. We've gotten past the part where we're not treating what God sends us as insignificant. All right. And he commanded, verse 19, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. That's another step. He was commanding the men to sit down. The reason he did that is because the men, we get in the way. Because what 5,000 hungry men going to do when their wives and children are hungry? Go try to figure it out. So what Jesus said, listen, I don't need a whole lot of human sufficiency here, so I need you to sit down. So that's a whole other step. God might sit you down so he can work something. He's got to set a part of you down. He's trying to work it out because we get in that mode that I am going to make this happen, and no, you're not. When God starts working, flesh is not going to work. All right? So God has to sit you down. Part of this message is learning how to sit down and understand the wisdom of God. He took the five loaves, the two fishes. Now, we already know he received it and gave thanks, but now watch what Matthew says. He looked up to heaven. Oh, that's important. When it says he looked up to heaven, he was positioning himself. How do I know? Because the Lord's been teaching me how to do this. When he looked up to heaven, he was positioning himself in his rightful heirship with the Father. The Bible says he was raised together, made to sit together, far above principalities, far above the powers. You have that inherited right to move out of the earthly jurisdiction. Why did he do that? You've got to move out of the earthly jurisdiction because the next thing he is going to do, he's going to pull those bread and loaves out of the earth's jurisdiction. That's what giving's about. That's what about anything that passes through your domain. Paycheck, accounts receivables, business. You got to learn to get that out of the earth's jurisdiction and get it into a different place. Before you do that, you've got to learn to get yourself there and understand how that works. You've got to apply your faith. The only way you move out of the jurisdiction of the earth into your rightful heirship as a dual citizen is by faith. Your faith in what you understand and what you understand about yourself, this is huge. Because if you don't get into that jurisdiction, you can't get another kingdom, another government upon that seed. Jesus needed another government to rest upon that bread and loaf. Okay? To do that, you got to learn how to move into that government. We've taught a lot about that. We our last message, we taught a whole lot about Deuteronomy 32, how he finds you in a desert place and the eagle spreads her wings and lifts you into your high places. Psalms 18 says he makes your feet like hinds feet and he setteth you. When the Lord was teaching me, I'd just get in there and I'd see it. You set me. I am set into my high places. You see yourself coming out of the earthly jurisdiction. I'm set into the heavenly realms of God. Ephesians 2 and 6, I'm raised together with you. I'm made to sit together with you. Why is that important? You got to get your spirit. You got to learn to get yourself. I'm not talking about getting yourself before the throne room of God where you see the four living creatures and the throne and the lightnings and the thunders. I mean, if that's what you're looking for, you're missing it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting in the spirit. Whatever you want to call it, but this is the way I see it. Because when you're in the spirit, you're not in the natural. You got to learn to get yourself over there, and you got to get your spirit. You got to learn to do that by faith. I am a set man. I am set into my high places. Psalms 18 says he sets you. Deuteronomy 32 says he makes you to ride in the high places. Ephesians 2, 6 says he made you to sit down in heavenly places. I believe it's Hosea says he makes me to walk upon my high places. He feeds you with the increase of the field. All my pastures are in the high places. You got to learn to get there. Now, Jesus knew how to do that in the prayer. The more you practice that, the more powerful you're going to become. Because not only when you get there, you have the authority to transfer things. See, he positioned, when he looked up to heaven, he's positioning himself with his Father. You learn that position, will you move into that place? How do I do that? By faith. You're going to have the Holy Spirit teach you how to do that. I have teachings on it. A whole series on it called Divine Union. Have another teaching in Teaching Month section called Diplomatic Immunity. You got to learn to exercise that part of you. That is big. Don't check on me. That's the part that makes it happen. That makes the part where just giving is just giving, and to where you start giving and something else gets on it. If you don't get something else on it, that's what makes the difference. Because what happens when you get in that place and you know who you are, you have authority to bless from that position. See, when I bless from that, I'm blessing from another government. I'm exercising the authority of that government. I'm seated with him in a seated place of authority, and I can release the blessing of that kingdom upon those bread and loaves, upon my paycheck, upon the seed you give into this church, upon anything. But if I don't learn to get seated there, how can I bless from there? See, when he looked up to heaven, he was positioning himself. Then he said, and he blessed. See, first position, then he blessed. Gone are the days, Father, I thank you for your blessings upon your dear children. Amen. Father, bless. No, 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 no. You got to learn to exercise your kingdom authority and move into that position. Everything's about the position you move from. When I'm in the anointing, a lot of times they're in worship. I mean, if there's a real fluent worship and they're plugged into you, you can ride into that worship. You can get connected with that. And you move into a oneness with that. And it's like a thermal that comes. You can lift up into that thermal like an eagle does. When you lift up, it lifts the whole congregation up into it. It lifts, the atmosphere lifts up, and your anointing lifts up into it and releases at a much higher level. Some people don't operate like that at all, but some do. It's an atmospheric anointing, and you can ride real high on that. The same way with this, it's a positioning in the spirit. Learn that position. Amen? Then he said he blessed. Now, this is real important. So what do we have such far? He received the loaves, gave thanks, positioned himself, and looking up to heaven, and he blessed the loaves. Now, when he blessed, he was already in that place. Because I know the more you do it, you can just close your eyes and move there. When you do it enough, you're just there. I know I'm there. I know I'm operating from that part of me now. See? It's big. That's what's going to determine what multiplies. you are not going to multiply anything. Multiplication comes from a government. And see, that government's in you. That increase of that government, and you can release from that government. You can command from that place. You can ask the Father to release that government on something that's on the natural. And boy, when it does, it takes on a new form. That's why things started when we started. And God said, we started, and all of a sudden God opened up another income stream outside of Thursdays and Sundays. He's never done that. Very rarely he's ever done that. All of a sudden, that income stream started equaling what was coming in on Thursdays and Sundays. This week, it's trumped what's coming in on Thursdays and Sundays. What's come in on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays trumped what came in on Thursday and Sunday. That's pretty awesome. Why? The kingdom's flowing. Things are increasing, multiplying, because we're getting the kingdom on that stuff. Thank you for your enthusiasm. The blessing, Genesis 1, he says it twice in chapter 1. And God blessed them, and God said, here's when God blesses, be fruitful and multiply. Said it twice. Everyone say, be fruitful and multiply. There is a difference but being in the natural and saying, be fruitful and multiply. Or positioning yourself in that kingly realm and saying, whoo, be fruitful and multiply. You're in a different place. You're operating from a different government. And what comes out of that government gets released on it. And things start happening. And you're going, what makes that happen? How come they're so blessed? Because when that blessing gets on you, so I'm believing it's going to get on me all the time. I said, Lord, I want it on me all the time. Ed, 24/7. Atmosphere blessing on me everywhere I go. It just happens. If it's going to happen two or three times in a day, and the other ones are going to just wish it happens. I'm not wishing no more. I'm moving to the place where it happens. I'm command that blessing upon my generation. Seed, spiritual seed, natural seed. That means you got to be blessed. I told somebody the other day, do you know how many millionaires are going to be born right up out of this place? Because of the commanded blessing working in us, we'll command that blessing on them. When they connect, that commanded blessing will get on them. And then their commanded blessing will get on their seed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to be real happy. And persecuted. But I don't care about the persecution part. Be fruitful and multiply. Everyone say, be fruitful and multiply. This is the part when you release. Now, sometime after I do this, I speak all the time, all day long. I'm speaking on what I have been interacting with. I'm speaking all the time. Oh, Father, and I speak Genesis 22 over it, and I say that, Genesis 1. Be fruitful and multiply. Everything I do is fruitful now. Everything I do multiplies now. Genesis 22, Father, I thank you. My seed is as the stars of the heaven and the sand of the seashore. My seed is possessing the gates of my enemies. My seed is possessing as the stars of the heaven. I speak it all. It's multiplying. The anointing of increase and divine multiplication is resting. It's resting. It's resting. Everything I set my hands to do. Boy, and now here's the difference if you do it. The difference between those who hear it and do it are the ones that'll happen for. Okay? Here's another one. I love this one. Isaiah 9 and 6 and 7. Learn this one. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Guess where that government's at now? That son has been given, that child has been born, and he's in ya. Say, he's in me. And the government's resting in him. And the government's in you. And I like the next part of it. Because this is the part, if you know, you can release. You have the power to loose that government into the earth system. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there is no end. Father, I release that government. I release it on everything I'm touching. Everything I'm interacting with. It's not seed, faith, and harvest. I'm not giving to get God to do something. My faith already apprehended God. He's released. Now I'm interacting with what he sent. See the difference? I'm just looking for what he sent. Now I'm going to release that government on what he sent. Well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, don't worry. It probably won't happen for you. But everyone in here believes it. Amen? I love this one, 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and he multiplies your seed. The kingdom of God is multiplication. That's 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. Say, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 10. He that ministers seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food, and multiplies your seed. Increase the fruits of your righteousness. Because I kind of see that as God giving me that. But it's different. Because the seed faith message says you got to give first to get God to do something. I say let your faith go first. Believe God first. Let the flow come and then interact with it. If it comes in fullness, you don't even need this part. If it comes in partial, you definitely need this part. You got to release. You got to speak to that. You got to speak to what's going. You got to see it's flowing. Every day you got to release your faith on it. You can't just sit and leave it alone. Things just don't happen. You're interacting with it. You got to get in the kingdom. That's why I said faith is a lifestyle. It becomes fun. It's exciting. I said, what's going to happen today, Anna? Yesterday was so exhilarating. I'm like, I want another day like that. I mean, I can't wait. I want goodness and mercy to track me down. Knock me down. Say, I'm just following you. You're a magnet, and I've been sent to follow you. The Father said, follow you. I'm goodness and mercy following me. Say it, goodness and mercy are following me. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth. Does load sound like just like a drop of water? He loads me. That means he's going to knock you off the saddle every day. I want to be knocked off the saddle. If it's not happening, I want to know why. And I'm going to keep going till it does. Till every day is new. It's fresh. It's like, hallelujah. I'm not looking for the negative things. I'm looking for the good things of God coming. I'm plugged in. Everyone say, I am plugged in. Or say, Father, plug me in. Let the juice. Number five, then it said, after he had positioned himself, looked up to heaven, he blessed the loaves, then he broke them. Now this is important, especially if you're paying debts or if you're paying a pledge. Let's say that I was taking down a mountain of $50,000 in debt and I owed 10 different creditors. They're all hungry and they're ready to eat. How'd you been like to have been one of the disciples when you get a little piece of one of those bread and said, God says, now go feed that whole section over there of 10,000 people. You're going, or that whole section of 1,000 hungry men, you get that one little part of the loaf. Here, Chuck, take this part of the loaf. You go feed those 1,000 men over there. And they're looking at you, what? And you're coming like, God, do I? You're kidding me. I am not going over there with this in my hands. See, it's the way we think. By the time they got over there, that stuff started multiplying. And so when he broke them, I teach this. Now you got to break the seed or you break the partial harvest. That part, people don't get that part. You're believing God to pay a $5,000 debt off and God gives you a dollar. He gives you $2, $4. Let's just use Jesus mathematics. Let's say you had a $2,000 debt. Let's use the mathematics he was using. And Jesus sends you 500 times less than what you, so he sends you $4. And that 2,000 debts you owe, let's say you owe five different people, but it all equals $2,000. And so Jesus gives you some bread and loaves of $4. $4! Okay, break the $4 up. Take a George Washington, transfer jurisdiction, and send that George Washington. Can you imagine your creditor? You owe me $500. What are you doing? Sending me a check for a dollar? It costs me more to process the check. I don't need a dollar. I need $500. And your response, it's coming. Be thankful. If you bother me some more, you're going to get shuffled to the bottom of the list. I'll send you a quarter next time. You're not giving the dollar for their benefit. You're giving the dollar because you're interacting with the kingdom. You break it, and then you send it to your disciples. You send it out. You release it. See, there's a release. And when I release, I just don't write the check. I release by faith. Father, I release the kingdom. Because I know more is coming. I'm going to do it all over again. Until that mountain just melts like wax. And then God will give me another mountain. And then I'll be happy. Because soon enough, we'll be dealing with $10 million mountains. Over host affecting things in the king, $100 million. Amen? That's a whole lot better than wondering when the next $20 is going to come so you can have something in your cupboards. You know what I mean? All right. And I'll close with this. He said, gather up the fragments. I think there's a lot in there. I haven't broke all that yet, but I know that there's accountability and management thing there. God wants you to understand when you start dealing with multiplication, there's going to be a management. Don't. You gather the fragments. You keep a good accounting of everything. Nothing's insignificant. I see accounting. I see a management in there. I see administration with that. And I love this last part. The last part. And they gathered together, John 6:13, and filled 12 baskets. Ooh. Those bread and loaves produce, you know what 12 means? Government. The government of God was established from a divine interaction. Guess who got the government? The little lad. So let's look at the transfer of jurisdictions in closing. The lad gives it to Jesus. Jesus transfers it to the kingdom. He transfers it back to the earth. Transfers it to the disciples. Disciples to the hungry creditors. And then they pick up the fragments and transfer that to the lad. You see all the transference going on? A lot of transference happening. You got to get really smart with these things. Get very keen with them. And when you do, you'll get plugged into the kingdom. Things will start happening for you. And if God sees that you're faithful in the small things, he might ask you to move a $2,000 mountain, or he might ask you to do a pledge or something. But if he sees you're faithful, he's going to start assigning you large things because he knows. So I don't have any gifts. I don't understand. How can I do that? Don't worry about how God's going to make it happen for you. You're not going to get a mailbox mentality where every time you go out to the mailbox and see if God stuck it in your mailbox. I mean, after a while, that ain't going to happen. You're going to have a field. God's going to give you a business, a field. He's going to plug you into something, might give you a witty invention. Who knows? Like, honestly, I didn't know how it was coming. It was just coming. God, see, because what happened, I'm closing. The kingdom starts expanding in you, and it commands the blessing on your life. The command and blessing, because multiplication's happening in your life. That multiplication commands the blessing around you. So all of a sudden God says, give them a field because the multiplication's commanding it. You got to have the field to keep up with what's going on inside of you. The dominion mechanism gets released. And all of a sudden God gives you a new field, might give you a promotion, might put you with somebody you have no earthly business whatsoever being with. God just gave you favor with somebody. You don't know. You can't be worried about how that's going to happen. Just let the multiplication, because God will give you an idea, and all of a sudden, now you got to have faith to jump into that. Your multiplication will outgrow your field. Those are big problems. That's a good problem to have. When your multiplication outgrows your field, you're going to either get promoted or God's going to give you something else. Get ready for the transition, because you're not going to be able to stay where you're at. Amen. The kingdom has commanded a blessing on your life. So for the benefit of the MP3 tonight, because somebody asked me if I would actually catch this part on tape, because I wanted to teach it line upon. How many of you got that now? You should have that down. Now you're going to have to practice. The big part is learning how to get in that priestly role and how to ascend into that seat, get positioned. That's the part that man can hardly teach. You're going to have to practice that. And let the Holy Spirit teach you that. Just practice. Like get a golf club and learn to swing it. You might chunk the dirt a little bit, but you'll get it after a while. You'll feel that. Hey, I'm in another place. When you learn to do that, you can just slip over in that. And we're going to pray tonight. And we're going to release that. And we're going to interact. I call this divine interaction. I do this again with our paychecks. I do it with the offerings. We do this as a church. Whatever comes in here, when we release 10% minimum of anything that comes in, we give it to the poor, the widows. We give it to orphans. We give it to other ministries, but we release by faith. We do this every day. You can ask Christine and Chuck. They might make 2 or 3 trips into the sanctuary. Or in my office, I said, everything that comes in, every day we do this without fail. Why? Because we want that daily operation. Amen. So Father, tonight, in obedience to your word, as an example, Father, we receive tonight the fruit of the labor of your dear people, Father. We receive the fruit of that, Lord, and first thing we do is give you thanks, and we say everything here is significant, Father. We speak significance over this, that everything that was offered, even from the children tonight, is significant. We hold it and thank you for it, Father, and we look up to heaven. We move into that place with you, knowing we've been raised together with you. We've been made to sit together with you, that you maketh our feet like hinds feet, and you setteth us into our high places, Father. That you setteth us upon our mountain, Father. You setteth us into that seat of authority, that seat of inheritance, Father, where we rule and reign and exercise dominion, Father. And from that seat, we speak now to the bread and loaves that have been brought into this house, and we say, be fruitful and multiply this day as the stars of the heaven, as the sand of the seashore. We release your government upon it, Father. We ask for your government to be released now, Father, for the increase of that government and peace. We release it and we loose it now, Father. We loose that government upon these offerings. And Father, as we break these offerings tomorrow and send them out, it's sent out with another kingdom. And we speak to that mountain of debt and we say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, for no more of thy name shall be seen or sown again on our mountain. We are a blessed people and highly favored of the Lord. Father, I thank you from this day forward, according to Psalms 20, we stand upright. And Father, we stand upright and we thank you. You fulfilleth all our petitions. All of them. All of them, Father. You're with us. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And Father, your goodness and mercy are following us all the days of our life. And Father, in this Christmas season, I'm asking for a special release upon every member, upon the children, upon every family. Let the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it, let your government be released upon them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.